David Glenn is the longtime host of the David Glenn Show and the author of the Holding Court column on our website, chapelboro.com. He joins us on the phone this morning to try to make sense of what's happened in the last few days and try to prognosticate when it comes to what might happen in the future. David, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Always good to be with you.
So, first of all, before we talk about the possible implications, just your thoughts about Southern Cal and UCLA moving to the Big Ten. That was not anything I ever expected to be saying out loud, but I guess it's happening now.
Yeah, my first reaction was that it reminded me a lot of a very similar story when Oklahoma and Texas of the Big 12 agreed to eventually join the Southeastern Conference. And the bottom line right now, as we've talked about on your show and we've written about at chapelboro.com, is that the SEC and the Big Ten, even within what we call the Power Five conferences, that also includes the ACC, Big 12, and Pac-12, those two top leagues are making a lot more money than everybody else. And Oklahoma and Texas saw that. And the SEC saw value in the Sooners and the Longhorns, and the exact same script played out with Southern Cal and UCLA. The projections for what they can make as Big Ten members are almost twice as much in some cases as what they can make for staying in the Pac-12. And again, it takes two to tango. The Big Ten sees a lot of value in Southern Cal and UCLA, which are really strong brand names with successful athletic departments. I don't see a lot of other candidates out there that bring more value to the table in terms of realignment than they would take away as kind of one more mouth to feed from the conference trough. But it remains to be seen how many more dominoes fall along these lines.
What does that leave? I mean, first of all, where does that leave the Pac-12? I mean, with UCLA and USC gone, that makes it a much, much weaker conference in general, I would imagine.
No doubt about it. And right now, I mean, the good news for the ACC is that at least temporarily, it is in better position than everybody except the SEC and the Big Ten, who already make $50+ million per school from their athletics and when their share of that conference paycheck, whereas these other leagues are in the 30 to 35 or so million dollars per school range. The Big 12 just took two big hits, which is, of course, going to impact their next TV negotiations. No Sooners and no Longhorns means less money than they've been getting. And the Pac-12, which has to negotiate some deals in the next few years, just lost two of its juggernauts. So if the Atlantic Coast Conference can hold on in this 14 full-time members, and, of course, Notre Dame is kind of a part-time member in football, but full-time in many other sports, it will be, the good news is it will be a strong third league. The bad news is that according to these projections, it'll still be way behind the SEC and the Big Ten. And that all goes back to TV money, which mainly goes back to football TV money, where the SEC and the Big Ten just draw more fans and draw more TV eyeballs and get a lot more TV dollars as a result.
Speaking with David Glenn, talking about conference realignment and trying to imagine what might happen down the road in the future now that Southern Cal and UCLA are making moves. Every time this happens, a big school moves and then a whole bunch of dominoes fall. Everything shifts around and we end up with a completely different landscape. And it's highly unpredictable what's going to happen. But think about the ACC schools, the 15 or the 14 and a half with Notre Dame, and certainly thinking about the schools around here as well, North Carolina, Duke, NC State too. What are the considerations? If you're an athletic director, you're thinking about staying, going, you're entertaining options. What are the things that you would be looking at? What would entice a school to jump ship to a different conference at this point?
Yeah, if you and I were athletic directors right now, we would be going to our university presidents and chancellors and saying, basically, culturally, we love where we are. The Atlantic Coast Conference has been a great league for 69 years. You know, we're original founding members of that league. And in 9 out of 10 ways, we're happy with things as they are. The one thing you have to show your chancellor or university president, who, of course, is pivotal in making these kind of huge decisions to jump to a different league for athletics reasons, you have to show the finances. And whereas, let's just say by the end of the current decade, by 2029, the ACC's money will be going up it is expected to be because of the success and growth of the ACC network and, of course, success in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, that financial payout from the conference coffers will grow to more than $50 million per year for ACE to the current membership of the Atlantic Coast Conference. That's the arc that they're on, and that's good news. The money keeps going up. The bad news is that same number for SEC and Big Ten schools is projected to be in the $100 million range by the end of this decade. And the question becomes, can you at your school, if you truly year after year after year are getting half the size of that conference payout that the teams you're trying to compete with in the SEC and the Big Ten are getting from their league offices, how long can you sustain that? And remember, it was about a decade ago that the University of Maryland, which was an original member of the ACC back in the early 50s, saw these projections from the Big Ten and literally went to an ACC meeting where everybody was asked to swear their allegiance to each other. The Maryland representatives, eyeball to eyeball with everybody else, swore their allegiance to the ACC while they were secretly being shown financial projections about how much safer they would be in the Big Ten and now how they would avoid having to cut various sports if they were willing to make the jump away from the league that they knew for more than half a century. Of course, they chose to do it while lying in the face of their conference members. And, of course, a lot of people right now are wondering, is anybody in the ACC, is Clemson or Florida State or someone else flirting with the SEC this way? And I can tell you this, the UNC folks have known for a full decade that if they want to become members of the Big Ten, that is a standing invitation. It has been for a decade. The Big Ten wanted UNC more than it wanted Maryland a decade ago because the Tar Heels bring a lot more to the table in various ways. So Carolina, among ACC schools, kind of like Clemson on the football side, is about as good a candidate as anyone not named Notre Dame as these conference realignment dominoes continue to fall. So it's an especially sensitive question in Chapel Hill right now because, again, other than Notre Dame, I'm not sure there are many schools left that aren't already members of the SEC or the Big Ten that could offer those two leagues the kind of value that would justify a conference expansion invitation.
And again, speaking with David Glenn, and again, like, I don't think any one of us a week ago could have imagined UNC leaving the ACC. I mean, you think about the ACC, it starts with Carolina and Duke and NC State and just kind of branches out from there. So it's just such a seminal school in this conference. But I would have said that about Southern Cal. I would have said that about UCLA and the Pac-12. And here we are with those schools moving to the Big Ten. So what do you think the odds are that this all ends with the ACC still intact and Carolina and Duke and NC State still in that conference as opposed to being somewhere else?
Well, I really thought that this fork in the road was going to happen at the end of this decade. And the reason instead of 2022, the reason I say that is that the ACC, which of course was unnerved by Maryland's departure about a decade ago and unnerved by the fact that the ACC knew that UNC and UVA and others had received inquiries from the Big Ten, if not official offers. Those schools were told, hey, if you're willing to do what Maryland is doing, you know, we'll welcome you with open arms. The Atlantic Coast Conference a decade ago signed a whole bunch of deals, including increasing the exit fee. So it would cost tens of millions of dollars for any current ACC member to leave. And they also struck a deal called grant of rights, which is a little bit hard to explain. But the bottom line, as it's in the contract, is if a current ACC member leaves the league, the value of whatever their athletics TV/media rights garner in the marketplace stays with the ACC until 2036. In other words, if hypothetically, an ACC school leaves for the SEC or the Big Ten right now, they would be forfeiting the value of their sports TV and media rights for the next 14 years. That's a lot of money. That's hundreds of millions of dollars. The reason I thought this whole fork in the road would happen at the end of this decade is with each passing year, the penalty to leave goes down. Of course, right. You get closer and closer to 2036. Will that stand up in court if it's challenged legally, the size of that exit fee? We'll see. But I promise you that's among the conversation pieces as these university presidents and chancellors have these difficult conversations with their athletic directors.
A lot more to say about this topic, but we'll have to leave it there for now. I'm sure it's not going away anytime soon. David Glenn, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Always good to be with you, Aaron. Take care.